Good morning. Today's Daf and Kedushin, Chaf Beis. We're in Chaf Aleph, Amud Beis. We're starting at the two dots. Two dots can be found towards the top of the Amud. Dichsiv, sorry, heading. V'hanir tzanik nebiritziya. Taking us all the way back to the Mishnah on Yudalid and an Eved Ivri Hanirtza. So this is now a new category of Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is going to be working for 6 years if he sold by Beis Din. Mocher Atzmo could be serving for longer than 6 years. But anyway, Machru Beis Din, once Beis Din sells you, so you are going to have a term. And the term is going to be 6 years, irrespective of Shemitah Yovel. Sorry, let me correct myself immediately. Irrespective of Shemitah. Not irrespective of Yovel. And if Yovel comes up in the middle of the 6 years, so that also is going to terminate his service. But irrespective of Shemitah. In other words, it just happens to be Shemitah is also 6 year, 7th year. But in other words, this is a different 6 year, 7th year. In other words, you're working for 6 years. Okay, and then the 7th year, you go free. Now, after 6 years of work and you have to make this request while you are still employed. That point, by the way, we're going to be discussing a little bit later on. And that is that now at the end of your service, you say, we're going to be more specific about how to make the request. But now you say, you know what? Love it here. This is fantastic, right? Love you, love it. In other words, I'd like to stay in this situation in perpetuity. Under those circumstances, so now he becomes an Eved Ivri, Hanirtza, which now brings him to this new status of being an Eved Ivri indefinitely, but indefinitely does not mean forever, it means up until Yovel. And so what you're going to do now is that you're going to be koneh him as an Eved Ivri, Hanirtza. How are you koneh him as an Eved Ivri, Hanirtza? This is going to be one of the easiest questions I'm going to ask and answer today, and that is, the answer is Ritzia. In other words, what you're going to do now is you're going to pierce his ear. The piercing of his ear, the Ritzia, is going to give him the status of an Eved Ivri Hanirtza. Okay? Kind of baked into the bread. So anyway, that's what the Mishnah told us, is that how do you get to the status of Eved Ivri Hanirtza? Ritzia. Okay, that's what we learned in the Mishnah, and many details, and that's what we're discussing right now. V'Hanirtza Niknebi Ritzia Dichsiv Ratza Adonas Esasno B'Martzeyam. Okay, and the Gemara now quotes a pasuk, and kind of self-explanatory. We continue. Now, you're in this new category of Eved Ivri. So how do you go free? So there are only going to be two ways in which you're going to go free. Number one, Yovel. Because in perpetuity, in this context, means Yovel. Number two, the second way you're going to go free is Mises Adon. Meaning you are not a transferable asset. You're not an asset. Meaning you're an employee. Again, indentured, you're going to be working in perpetuity. But in other words, but you're not owned. And therefore, when the owner dies, so you are now free to go. We discussed earlier in this perek certain limited situations in which your son is your stand-in. But over here, by Nirtza, Mises Adon creates emancipation. He will work for you, right? Focus on the possessive. The avado. So in other words, they're not your son and not your daughter. Le'olam le'olam sheyovel. Le'olam moshel yovel. And le'olam contextually means yovel. So Tana Rabbanan, we continue. Ein li'ala amartzeya minan l'rabos so hasom. Okay. In terms of what we're going to be using to pierce your ear, so the Torah says martzeya. Martzeya is an awl. Okay. A-W-L. Okay. If you have a toolbox and you have an awl, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. If you're not handy. Right, it feels like I know what he's talking about. Okay, so minayin l'rabo sasol v'asira v'hamakdeach v'hamakteiv. So how do I know that any instrument would be acceptable? A list of other instruments. Please forgive me. I'm not going to translate all these other instruments. So tamalam v'lakach. The l'rabo's called davar shenikach biad giver Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda focuses on v'lakach that you're taking. So whatever you're taking, in other words, it doesn't matter what the instrument is that you're going to use to pierce the ear. It could be anything. Rabbi Omer Ma Martzeh Miuchad Shematechas Af Kol Shematechas. Now, according to Rabbi, no one has to be made up of metal. So in other words, Rabbi does have a small amplification. It can be another item, another instrument, but it's got to be made up of metal. Davar Acher Amartzeh Lavi Amartzeh Gadol. So if it's a huge Martzeh, That would be acceptable, according to the Davar Acher, according to this other interpretation. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Yudan Beribi, Yudan is his name. So he was a gadol. That Beribi means usually a gadol hador. So Hayadoresh. So he would darshan the following: Kishahin Rotsin and Rotsin Ella Bimelsa. So when you would do the ritzia, where would you do the ritzia? Meaning what part of the ear would you do the ear lobe? In other words, we're going to divide the ear into two parts, the cartilage, the harder part and the softer part. So over here, he's describing the ritzia to be done in the softer part of the ear, the lobe. According to the Chachamim, an Eved Ivri Kohen cannot do the option of Ritzia. Why? Because what it's going to do is it's going to render him a Balmum, and it will be a blemished Kohen, and that means to say that it will be banned and restricted from doing the Avoda, and you cannot actively do that. Obviously, if a Kohen becomes a Balmum, obviously, there's nothing to discuss, but to become a Balmum, actively to become a Balmum, when you have a choice in the matter, so then choose not to become a Balmum. V'im tam Rebbe Milsa, Haim Rotzim. Now, if you're right that the place of piercing is going to be in the earlobe, so Hechevedivri Kohen Yaseh Balmum, you don't become a Balmum in getting a hole in the soft part of the ear, in the earlobe, Ha'in Yerzela Begova Shalozen. Meaning that according to the Chachamim, so where should the ritzia be done proper? Proper ritzia is going to be done not on the soft part, not on the earlobe, but rather on the cartilage of the ear, which would render you a balmum. Therefore, you can't do it. Right? In other words, see the interaction over here. Meaning, once we know that a Kohen Eved Ivri cannot become a nirtza because it will render him a balmum, that will inform us where exactly the piercing is going to be. If a hole in the earlobe does not make you a balmum. A hole in the cartilage does make you a balmum. So, b'mai kemifligi, okay, good. So, ad kan divrei habraisa. So, we just went through a lengthy braisa to describe the instrument you're going to be used for piercing and the location on the ear in which you're going to get pierced. The Gemara now goes back to point number one. Point number one, the instrument. So, b'mai kemifligi, the Rabbi Darsh kol liprate. So, over here, what are we arguing about? Methodology. This machlokus comes up again and again throughout Shas. The more times you hear this, right? I've experienced this myself. The more times you hear this, the more you're going to understand. I'm going to go through it a little too quickly, but it's a methodology issue. So according to Rabbi Hidarshan's Kol HaPrat, meaning that's the methodology he uses. It's the one we're used to hearing, right? When we recite daily, Yud Gimel Midrash, Atarnu Dreshes Bahem. So what do we say? Kol HaPrat or Kol? So this is the one that we hear all the time. And v'lakachta, klal marzei aprat, be'azno uva delas chazru klal, klal upradu klal, iat adan elakein aprat. Ma aprat mefarash shel mateches, avkol shel mateches. So using the methodology klal upradu klal, meaning that the item has to be very similar to the example. What is the Torah's example? Marzei. So what other items can be used? Only those things which are much closer in similarity, i.e., it's got to be made up of metal. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, so his methodology is a different methodology. He darshins ribuy amiyut. Okay. Which is the correct methodology? I'm not sure if that is a legitimate question. It's a fair question. Meaning we have two schools of thought on this matter. Where did the two schools of thought come from? Right? So my oversimplistic answer is Sinai. But in other words, okay, which, whatever. There are two schools of thought on this matter. So the Reba Amiut. V'lakach the Reba Marzea Mia Beznova Dala Chazav Reba. Reba Amiut Reba. So Reba Hakol. So my Rabbi Rakub Rabbi Kol Miele. My Miut Miut Sam. Okay, fine. So when you're using methodology of Reba Amiut, so it becomes a much more expansive methodology. Meaning that when the Torah says, Velakachta, what are you taking? You're taking anything you want. And when the Torah gives an example, all the Torah is just doing is carving away small exclusions. What's the small exclusion that we're carving away? In other words, it has to be something which creates a hole. It has to be a physical item that creates a hole. Meaning what the Torah does not want you to do is throw a little chemical on the area and let the chemical just go ahead and make a hole. That the Torah says you can't do. Outside of that, however, once you're using any instrument made up of any physical material, be it metal, be it wood, it don't matter. So once you're using a physical instrument to make the hole, that would be fine. And that is all as a result of the methodology of ribuy umiyut. Again, I went through it really quickly, but it's a classic discussion that comes up again and again throughout Shas. Amar Mar. Ha Marzei Alavi Marzei Agadol. Now, according to the Davar Acher of the Braisa, Marzeah can mean even the Marzeah HaGadol. Okay? There must have been a really big instrument back in the day. I'll just translate into English, the big awl. But somehow, I have a feeling that they're describing some sort of very popular, known instrument. The Marzeah HaGadol. So, my mashman kedama rava. So, ha-yarech, ha-miyumena shebi-yarech, ha-chanami, ha-marzeah le-miyucha shememarzayin. Oh. So, and what gives us the indication? Of the hay. In other words, the hay is a hay ha-yidiyah. Right? In English, you would say the article. Right? So let's say, for example, the Gemara gives the example of we know that we're not allowed to eat the Gedanasha. Which Gedanasha? There are two sciatic nerves running down, one down the right leg and the other down the left leg. And the Torah prohibits the Yarech. So in other words, Ha Yarech meaning the dominant. Which one's the dominant? Obviously the right. And no offense to left-handedness. Okay. Even though I just offended them, but no offense. So the Hachanami Hamartzeah Lemiyuchah Shemem Martzayim. So over here, the Hey Hayidiyah tells us the same thing regarding the Martzeah. It is the Martzeah. Okay. Again, that's what I'm saying. If we had the toolbox and back in the day, it must have been very clear. You know, there's no. Don't give me the Martzeah. Okay. They knew what they were talking about. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Hayadorish Cohen Rotzin and Rotzin Ela Bemilsa. Okay, now we're going on to the next part of the brisa. So we just analyzed the first part of the brisa, the instrument that you use in order to make the ritzia. Now we're talking about location on the ear. We're going back to the brisa. In the brisa, we were introduced to a machlokas. So the Gemara now goes back and discusses, dissects. So Rebbe Lazar quotes the Tana by the name of Yudan Beribi. So Hayadarish Kishahin Rotzen and Rotzen Ela Bemilsa. So he described that the piercing's done in the ear. Lo v'chacham amorim, ain evad ivri, kohen yirtzim, im neshe nase ba'mum. And then the sheet of the chachamim, which is no. In other words, don't pierce a kohen evad ivri because you're going to make him a ba'mum, which informs us that it's not the ear low, but rather it's the cartilage of the ear. The yase ba'mum, so the Gemara says, now, the argument of don't make the kohen evad ivri a ba'mum. The Gemara says it. And why not? So Amar... Oh, okay. Well, Gemara's going to... Gemara is going to give Tama Dover or Drushas a Dover. Amar of Abarav Shilama Krav Ishav El Mishpachto Lemuchlak Shibim Mishpachto. So he has to make a full return. In other words, Evad Ivri obviously is a period of punishment. But in other words, but you're returning. And you're returning when? So Yovel. In other words, now it can, as I pointed out, it could be a long time from now. Meaning it obviously depends where we are in the Yovel cycle. But in other words, but there is going to be a point of return. And so at that point of return, so now what we want is a full return. So in other words, obviously prior to his servitude, he was able to do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. So what we want is vishav el mishpachto. We want a full return. Okay, I'm going to articulate. Phil asked a question, meaning without the drasha. So in other words, the Kohen just simply can opt and choose to become a balmum. Meaning I would have said pashut like Phil. That in other words, if given the choice of becoming a Baal Mum or not being a Baal Mum, a Kohen should choose not to become a Baal Mum. In other words, then that would ban him, restrict him from doing the Avoda. Right? Phil's bothered, I'm bothered as well. Why do we need an extra drasha over here? Okay. I leave the question open ended. We continue. Ebay Lu Evid Ivri Kohen Maushim Solo Rabba Shiv
Chakit. No. The extra thing is because.
To become a nirtza?
Yeah. That's why you need a second rosh to say the Kohen cannot do it.
Okay. I'm starting a little more with the question than the answer, but okay. Okay. He says it. Now I remain quiet. Who says it? Okay, fine. Okay. Ibailahu Evid Ivri Kohen Maushim Solo Rabba Shiv Chakananis. Okay. Evid Ivri Kohen, right? In other words, Kohanim steal as well. Okay. I shouldn't say it, but I said it, obviously. Meaning in other words, we're obviously describing Machru Beis Din, where you were sold by Beis Din. And I'm not trying to be flippant, but everybody steals. So Kohanim steal as well. So now they're going to be sold as an Evid Ivri. So the Gemara now asks a really simple question. And there's not going to be a simple answer. And that is, now you have an Eved Ivri who happens to be a Kohen. And so we know that when you own an Eved Ivri, so you can give him one of your Shvachos in order so that he can, so that the Eved Ivri with your Shivcha can produce children. And those children are your children, the owner's children, right? Not his children. Biologically his, halachically yours, right? We already discussed this. So now, simple question over here. Kohen Eved Ivri. So can you give him a Shivcha Kenanis? So let's go over the two sides of this question. On one hand, Chirshu Loshna Kohen and Loshna Yisrael. So in other words, the idea that your Yisrael Eved Ivri can marry a Shivcha, that already is a novelty, as we already discussed and pointed out. You can't marry a Shivcha, meaning a regular Jew, a full-fledged Jew, cannot marry a Shivcha. So if a regular Jew can't marry a Shivcha, and the Torah says in this case it's okay, so that's called a Chiddush. That goes against the regular rules of the Torah. So then, what difference does it make who the Eved Ivri is? Eved Ivri is Yisrael, Eved Ivri is a Kohen. In both situations, allowances are given. That's one possibility. On the other hand, Kohen, Kedushas Kohuna, Mitzvah Siseros, meaning maybe he's just, to put it in simple English terms, he's too holy. He's too holy for this. So maybe he is not afforded this allowance. So Rav Amar Mutar, Shmuel Amar Asar. Okay, Machlokas Amarayim. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna Ki Avida Beimar Shmuel. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Anan, we were in the yeshiva of Shmuel, and Beiskamudre Italalisu. Literally, our clothing was worn out. It's an expression. It basically means that we weren't paying careful attention. So my time alo tamer le meha. In other words, if we were just more focused at the time, we would have made the following observation, and that is v'chacham amar mimin eved ivri kohen nirtza mimishin asabamom. So let's go back to what we learned in the brisa. Shitas chachamim. Now they say that a kohen eved ivri cannot become a nirtza. Why? Because they fundamentally argue where in the ear should be pierced. They believe it's the cartilage, and that would render the kohen abamom. And therefore, that would be a disqualification for the Kohen in the future to go ahead and do the Avoda. Now, Im Tomar in Rabba Moshe L'Shivcha Kanan is typically the Be'ina, Haftias Ardenias, Yeshivas Banai, Valeka. So now, even without becoming a Baal Mum, meaning we present another problem, and that is that the Eved will be making the following declaration. It's a pasuk. Ahavti es Adoni es Ishti ves Banai. I like my master, I like my new wife, and I like my new children. So over here, you have to make such a declaration. The Veleka. And that obviously would not be feasible, because if you are banning and restricting him from marrying a Shivcha Kananis, he will never be able to make such a declaration. So that's why the Chachamim, meaning why didn't the Chachamim make that argument? Because that argument doesn't exist. Because he is allowed to marry a Shevcha, and he is allowed to have children. Okay, fine. Meaning the only concern is that when the Kohen then opts to becoming a Nirtza, now we have problems. Now he's a Baal Mum. Short of that, there were no problems previously. Because he's allowed to marry a Shevcha, and he's allowed to have children. Okay. Sulamidi, in fact, the Gemara says, you know what? Such a compelling argument, nothing more to discuss on this topic. Meaning a Kohen Eved Ivri is in fact allowed to marry a Shivcha, at least that's the opinion of Rav Nachman.
Well, the okay. Pasuk, though, it seems to indicate that this is Vavti Sadoni is an Ishti. So there must be, it's really a wife, or not just a breeding.
I hear you. Ishti, look, I mean, in other words, in simple language, in other words, you and her are producing children together. Okay, correct. In other words, I understand your point. In other words, right? The Torah describes her as a wife. Okay, ibayilahu, kohen ma b'yifas Torah. Okay, so while we are on the topic of kohanim, and they are kohanim are bound and restricted in terms of who they can marry. Right, kohen can't marry grusha, kohen can't marry zona, kohen can't marry chalala. There are numerous women who, for us non-Kohanim, are eligible to marry. For a Kohen ineligible to marry, And again, they have extra Kedusha, they have mitzvos yiseros. Okay, perfect. And now we just entertain the question of Kohen Eved Ivri. Is he allowed to marry a Shifcha? Yes or no? Discuss. Okay, good. We just did. We just did that.
Was it called Kohen
Sold
yet?
Was it? No. This is before. What? I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Okay. Hold on. I'm sorry. Okay. Just give me a moment. I'm almost finished setting up. So now the Gemara wants to know. So and we just discussed Kohen Eved Ivri marrying a Kohen. Mm-hmm. Great. Next discussion. Kohen who is in war, and we have a heter. We just read it in Parsha in Sedra 2 weeks ago now. Right? Mm-hmm. Kisavo, go back one more Parsha Kiseitse. So we just read in Sedra 2 weeks ago, and that is that what you're allowed to do. The Torah gives an unbelievable heter, and that is that when you're in the battlefield and you see a woman, obviously not Jewish, right, of the enemy, and your Yetzer Hara is really getting the best of you, so the Torah gives you an allowance, and that is, well, in a moment we're going to clarify what you're allowed to do, but basically take her home for a wife. Right now, I'll say it simply. You can take her home for a wife. We'll talk in more detail in just a moment about what exactly the heter is. Okay, anyway, question on the table now. New question on the table. If our Kohen now is part of the war effort, and he sees an Eishes Yafas Toar, can he take her home for a wife?
Yes.
So, yes or no? Good, that's the question.
No, my question was, did the Kohanim go to war?
Yes.
They did? Okay.
Yes. Okay, good. That was easy.
Right.
All right. Yes. They went to war. There is a task of the Kohen Mashuach, who is basically the chaplain, right? But in other words, the other Kohanim. Okay. So Ibailu Kohen Mal B'Yafas Torah. So Chidushu Loshna Kohen V'Loshna Yisrael. So again, the outline of this debate is going to be predicated on the same arguments of, on one hand, the Torah gives an unbelievable chiddush, and so an unbelievable chiddush cuts across the board to the non Kohanim and even the Kohanim. That's one side. On the other hand, Odilma Shani Kohanim Olver Riba Behem Mitzvos Yiseros. On the other hand, Mitzvos Yiseros again Kedushas Kahuna. The Kohen is just holier than the rest of us. Okay, I know it's not the best way to say it, but it's easy and okay. And Rav Amar Mutar Shmuel Amar Aser. Okay, so everyone is standing their ground. Same positions over here. So Rav says yes, and Shmuel says no. Okay, now the Gemara over here is going to shape this machlokus. Bibia Rishona deKolam lo pligi deshare delo dibra Torah ela keneged yetzara. Okay, so the Gemara says now Bibia Rishona. So across the board, Rav and Shmuel would both say that for sure is okay. Why? Because lo dibra Torah ela keneged yetzara. Because over here, the Torah understands our limitations, right? In other words, our fight against the Yetzer Hara is a daily fight. Okay? And the expectation is that we're able to overcome. We're able to beat the Yetzer Hara every single day. In every single one of our challenges. Okay. But you're in war. And Baruch Hashem, right? I never had a fight in battle. So I never was in the army. So, but... In other words, right? Plenty of people, right? I got a brother, so and others as well, who I've interacted with. So in other words, so when you're in battle, when you're in war, so it's chaotic, and there's a beautiful woman. So over there, you're fighting, and right? I don't want to over dramatize, but you got no energy left to fight your Yetzirah, and it's chaotic. And at that point in time, the Torah makes a concession. The Torah said, basically says, we understand, Kadosh Baruch Hu understands that your Yetzer Hara has hit its limit. And at that point in time now, the Torah gives a dispensation. So, lo dibra Torah ela keneged Yetzer Hara. Who's got a Yetzer Hara? Everybody. Non-Kohanim, Kohanim, everyone has a Yetzer Hara. And at that point in time, we've hit the limit of the Yetzer Hara. So, for Bia Rishona, everyone's allowed. Meaning, because that's the allowance. It's lo dibra Torah ela keneged Yetzer Hara. So ki plig bibi ashniya, however, now your Yetzer Hara has been satisfied and now you're making a much more rational decision. So Rav Amar Motor Shmuel Amar Aser. Now we have the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and the Gemara here highlights, it explains. Rav Amar Motor, hol vishtari ishtare. So Rav will tell you, yeah, it's fine. Because, in other words, once the Torah gives you the heter, so you can now remain in the heter. Hold the ishtare, ishtare. And Shmuel Amar Alser, Daha Havyele Giyaros, Vigaros, the Koran Lachazia. And Shmuel will tell you, no, she would then be a Giyaros, obviously. In other words, she was not Jewish. And now, for you to keep her, so you have to convert her. Yeah, but a Kohen's not allowed to marry a convert. So, in other words, Shmuel says the heter is only for Bia Rishona, not for any subsequent Bia. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now through Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, a refinement of the Machlokas. We've reduced the Machlokas. We clarified the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. They were not talking about Bia Rishona. That for sure is going to be Mutter across the board, Kohen non Kohanim. The only Machlokas is going to be subsequent Bias, i.e., when you take her home. Can you take her home? Rav will say yes, Shmuel will say no. And it's a question of whether or not the Heter Rishona can continue and perpetuate. That takes us through round number one. That is version number one of the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. And here we go, version number two. Ika d'amre, we are on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, towards the bottom. Ika d'amre b'yashniya kuli amalo pliga d'asire d'havyele gyaris. Okay, in version number two. B'yashniya is not even open for discussion. In other words, at that point in time, she would be a Giyaris. You're going to be taking her home. You're marrying a Giyaris. A Kohen cannot marry a Giyaris. Discussion, that part of the discussion is over. It's not a discussion. That is a point of agreement. So, Kipligi, Bibi Rishona, Rav Amar Motadalo, Dibratola, Kenega Yetzahara. Now, Bia Rishona, so Rav will tell you, look, again, the Yetzahara has hit its limits, and you're allowed. And even if you're a Kohen, again, it's connected Yetzahara. Again, everyone has a Yetzahara. Ushmul Amar Asr Kol Hechad De Karina Bei Ve'Eviso Toch Beisecha Karina Bei Ve'Eisa B'Shivya. And Kol Hechad Lo Karina Bei Ve'Eviso Toch Beisecha Lo Karina Bei Ve'Eisa B'Shivya. And Shmuel will tell you no. In other words, what Shmuel's connecting is your ability to take home and the allowance in the heter to begin with. If he could take her home, so then you're given that allowance. If he can't take her home, then you're not given that allowance. Version number two for Shita Shmuel to me definitely requires more clarification. Meaning, and what about the Yetzara? Meaning, and so how does Shmuel understand the principle of Lo Dibra Torah Ela Kenega Yetzara? Meaning, basically, what I'm saying is I have a much easier time understanding Rav. Meaning, you're in the battlefield, your Yetzara has hit the limits, right? Every Yisrael can go ahead and give into the Yetzara under those circumstances. So Kohen can as well. And for Shmuel, well, you can't take her home, therefore you're not allowed to. So what about the Yetzirah? Okay. So,
the only time of war, they don't give you...
Yeah, but he happens to be currently at war. Okay, fine. Okay, good, you're doing better than me. Tanur, I hear you. Tanur Rabbanan V'Isa B'Shivya B'Shah Shivya. Okay, so... We are now going to spend a couple of minutes on this digression, right? And here we are, right? Gemara, the Gemara Kedushin, Chaf Aleph Chaf Beis, where we're currently located right now. So everything you want to know about Eishes Yifas Torah, it's not everything. But in other words, the Gemara now is going to go through the Psukim. Now, remember how we got to this digression? We asked the question, we're discussing Eved Ivri. We have been discussing it for over a week. And by the way, today we arrive at a conclusion. Meaning the goal today is to get to the Mishnah. And Mirza, Shembeli, Neder, we're going to get there. We're going to get to the Mishnah on the Amud Beis. But we're discussing Eved Ivri, and we have been doing so for over a week. The Mishnah started back on Yadalid, and our discussion for a week has been Eved Ivri. Okay. Everything you wanted to know about Eved Ivri. So, and one of the things we want to know about Eved Ivri is Kohen Eved Ivri. So can he be Nirtzad? That was question number one. Machlokas. And can you give him a Shivcha Kananis? That was question number two. Also a Machlokas. As long as we brought up the question of Kohen Eved Ivri and whether or not you can give him a Shivcha Kananis, so now a parallel question of Kohen Soldier. Can he avail himself to Eishes Yifas Torah? Yes or no? And again, we got into this discussion. Once we're here, so a little bit, we're going to talk a little bit about Eishes Yifas Torah. So, Tanur Rabbanan V'Risa B'Shivya. Bishashivya. So only Bishashivya. Only captive. In other words, only that period of time then and only then are you afforded this allowance. In other words, you're in war, right, and you are, okay, sorry, just giving a basic description of war, you're killing the men and you're capturing the women. And only during that period of time are you afforded this allowance. So the, okay, this one is much, we're not going to discuss it, but it's much discussed. And that is that it's an Ashes Yafas Torah, which means that she's a married woman. And still you're afforded this allowance. Okay. So, whatever. Okay. I'm going to just put a pause over here. I'm just going to put an empty space over here, much to discuss regarding marriage by a non-Jew, the idea that even though, despite that she's married, you could still take her home, meaning there are so many follow-up questions over here, which I'm only not even scratching. But we're going to go on. Okay. Yifas Torah, lo dibra Torah, le keneged yetzahara, mutav shiochlu Yisrael, baser temusos, shchutos, v'ayochlu baser temusos, nevelos. Okay. Yifas Torah, she's beautiful. Now, beauty's in, I don't mean to be cliche, but I'm going to be cliche. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Why is the Torah telling us that she is Yifas Torah, she's beautiful? Okay, in other words, we discussed this back in Ksuvos, when you marry a woman. Right, and what do you say? Kala Navi Chasuda, she's beautiful. What if she's not? And right, the Gemara over there has this discussion. Machlok is Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Anyway, beauty is effectively, the Gemara says, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So in other words, so why would the Torah describe her as beautiful? Because what the Torah is recognizing, and that's the point of our Gemara over here, the Torah is recognizing that it's because of this really, really strong attraction. It's your Yetzirah. Your Yetzirah is now put in a position where basically you are caving into your Yetzirah. And so right now your options are, in other words, the Torah acknowledges your Yetzirah is going to get the best of you in this situation. So the Torah is basically saying, okay, good. So let's create an allowance. Because if we don't create an allowance, so then you're going to do it without the allowance. The Gemara gives an analogy. The analogy is that the animal is dying. The animal is dying and you're going to eat it. Okay? And now, the better to shecht and eat it, rather for it to die and then you eat it. If it dies and then you eat it, that's called a nevela. If you shecht it and eat it, it's called eating baser shchuta. Okay. If it's dying, by the way, is it not a treifa? The answer is not necessarily. Okay. In other words, just because you're close to death, the animal's close to death, does not by itself render a treifa. Treifa is an actual pathology, right? An empirical pathology that occurs in the animal. There's a third parak of Chulin that discusses this extensively in terms of what exactly those pathologies are. Anyway, but we're going to continue. V'chashakta, we're still in Eishes Yafas Tawar, which all we're doing is just word for word. We're going through the Pasuk and darshaning each phrase and word in the Pasuk. V'chashakta afapi she'en anaya. Now, v'chashakta tells me that even if she's not beautiful, in other words, again, a cheshek over here just simply means that it's a desire. You're giving into your Yetzirah. Ba, in other words, the Pasuk reads, V'chashakta ba. We have two drushes over here. One for V'chashakta and the other one for ba. V'lo b'ba uve'chaverta. In other words, you're only allotted one Eishes Yafas Torah. So, V'lakachta likuchin yesh lecha ba. So the likuchin yesh lam ba. In other words, there is going to be tfisas kedushin. That's the way Rashi describes it over here, right? Rashi kedushin tovsim va'afa pi shaisa overes kochavim sharinim misgayers midaita. Okay, again, huge topic. Just we don't have the time, but anyway, but it's not the kedushin will take effect even though the gayrus that will occur is not going to be your standard geirus. Standard geirus, obviously, is where you elect to become Jewish, and over here, she's not given a choice. Okay. And yet, we're calling it a geirus. So this is an extraordinarily unusual geirus. And, okay, let's just leave it like that. Lach le'isha. Right? That's the pasuk. What's it called? I have the... So, no, you're right. No, you're right. Okay, good. Yeah. You're right. Only at the end of the pasuk. Okay, good correction. Okay, so lechal isha shelo yikach shtein hashem achas lo v'achas lo v'achas lo v'achas lo v'no. Okay, and what you can't do is you can't take one home for your father. You can't take one home for your son. Right, you're right. You can only take one home. And here we get to right the real excitement. And this I'll discuss briefly. And the last drasha over here is, and what you cannot do is lo yichal sena b'mechama. You can't pressure her at war. Okay, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes really succinctly. And shalei chatzena b'machama lavo elaha. Really succinctly. Two words of Rashi. So Rashi says what you can't do is that you can't have relations with her at the battlefield. Okay. Now, what does Rashi mean by that? Okay, so you see Tosus over here, right? There are two Tosusim. There's one really big one. So I'm referencing the really big one. And Tosus over here effectively writes, what in the world is Rashi saying? What it sounds like Rashi saying is the following, and that is that you're not going to have relations with her in the battlefield. In other words, pasnished. more than pasnished. She's not Jewish. You're not having relations with her in the battlefield. You know what you're going to do? You're going to take her home. You'll convert her, and then you'll have relations with her. That's what Rashi means. But if that's what Rashi means, says Tosos then, Tosos reacts, right, significantly. It can't be. Right. In other words, then over here, I'm giving a really, really rough sketch of what Tosos here is discussing and describing. What? You're only having relations with her after you take her home? Meaning, did you not read the Gemara's up until this point in time? Lo dibra Torah, kenega yetzahara. It's a concession that the Torah makes to your yetzahara. You're in the battlefield. It's chaotic. Right? War is, okay, not going to say it. But in other words, but it's total chaos. And you're at your and your Yetzahara is going to get the best of you. And we just read the Gemara together. Better to eat an animal that's shechted than to eat it not shechted. Meaning, isn't it not clear from the Gemara over here that you are in fact allowed to have relations with her in the battlefield? And meaning it can't and okay, let's just stop over there. Meaning, Rashi's position that you're only having relations with her after you bring her home, like it can't be. Good, so Tosos reacts strongly against this comment of Rashi. Tosos feels that the correct pshat in the Gemara is that of course you're having relations with her in the battlefield. That's the entire heter of Eishes Yifas Tohor. And then after that, then you bring her home and then you go through the rest of the process, which parenthetically, by the way, we're not discussing. Meaning, the Gemara is going to stop over here. We're not going to go over any more of the Parsha of Eishes Yifas Tohor. Anyway, so we have a major machlokes, and Tosfos asks a whole series of other questions that goes against Rashi and Rashi's pshat. Okay? So at the end, by the way, Tosfos notes that, by the way, this machlokes as to whether or not the Bia Rishona could be occurring in the battlefield only after you take her home. So Tosfos points out, you know what? It's machlokes in the Yerushalmi. Meaning this very debate that is existing between Rashi and Tosfos actually predates Rashi and Tosfos. It goes all the way back to the Yerushalmi. Okay, there is much more to discuss on this really extraordinarily interesting topic. We're going to go in. We're going to go on. Oh, by the way, I say we're going to go on, but I'm going to go back for just one more moment. Meaning, according to Tosfos, what is the pshat of the Gemara when the Gemara says that you're not allowed to pressure her at war? Shelo yichaltena b'machama. Tosfos says the pshat's very simple. And that is that you're allowed to be a Rishon in the battlefield. Now what do you want to do? You want to take her home. That's lo yichalsana b'melchama. Meaning if she has no interest whatsoever, so then don't pressure her. Right? If she's game to going home with you, converting, going through the process, so that's one thing. But if she is not interested, so then you don't go through the rest of the process. Okay. Tosfos says that's a simple pshat of the Gemara, according to Tosfos. We go on. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, that was a great digression. We're back. We're back to the Eved Ivri. We're back to discussing, and we're going to finish up today. I'm going to go a little bit over time today. I'm off today, so I'm and hopefully they're off as well. So we are not going to get the musical interlude. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We learned in Ebraisa. We are on Chav Beis Amud Aleph and at the two dots towards the top of the Amud. Im Amor Yomar Achi Yomar Vishna. Okay, to become an Eved Ivri and to now transition to becoming an Eved Ivri on Yirtzah, so you have to make a request. And not just a request, double request. Right? You have to say that you want to be an Eved Ivri in Yirtzah not once, but two times over. Amar b'tchil sheish v'lamar b'sof sheish enu nirtza. Shenemar lo yitzei chavshi. Ash yomar b'shas yitziyah. Amar b'sof sheish v'lamar b'tchil sheish enu nirtza. Shenemar im amor yomar ha'eved. Ash yomar kishu eved. Now you have to submit your request both at the beginning and at the end. Okay, I admit, by the way, I understand at the end because what did you do at the end? You've experienced it. And obviously you loved it. Obviously you want to stay, right? To put the request in at the beginning, I'm going to admit it's a little bit strange, right? You just started your Eved Ivri service. You have no idea how it's going to go. And at the beginning you say, you know what? Please, I'd love to stay here. I'm just, in other words, practically speaking, just it's hard for me to see how that works. But anyway, but the halacha is that to become an Eved Ivri. So you have to make formal requests both at the beginning and at the end. Amar b'tchila sheish, v'lo amar b'sof sheish, en nirtza shenema lo yitzei chavshi. My ear yemi lo yitzei chavshi, typically to be in an afti sa'adani v'es yishti v'es b'nei v'leika. So the Gemara says, now you have to make the request at the end. The Gemara says, without a drasha, it's obvious, because what's in his request? What's in his request is, love my new wife, love my new children. So in other words, obviously that's only coming at the end. It's not at the beginning. V'su amar b'sof sheish v'lo amar b'tchil sheish en nirtza shenemar eved atu b'sof sheish lav eved hu. So the Gemara says, now, additional to that, so you also have to say b'tchil sheish. So why? Because it says ha eved. The word ha eved tells us we're at the beginning. In other words, he's an eved throughout. How do I know that ha eved is telling me the beginning? So Amar Rava b'tchila prutachrona b'sof prutachrona. So the Gemara finally says, excellent point. Okay, so we're gonna redact, we're gonna modify. We don't mean the beginning of the service and the end of the service. We proposed it, we take it back. What we mean is beginning and the end, but beginning of the end of his final stages of being in Eved Ivri. That's what we meant. Okay, in other words, b'tchilas prutachrona and so prutachrona. Meaning, as the clock is going down time-wise, time is money. And obviously, as he's getting to the end of his Eved Ivri, he's also getting to the end of his service, i.e. he's paying off his wages. So now, as the clock is running down, and as the money is running down, so that last pruta, so as you're approaching that last pruta, right at the beginning of that last pruta, and at the end of the last pruta, that's when you have to make your double request. Continue. Tan Rabbanan, lo isha uvanim, lo isha vanim, ula rabo in isha vanim, inu nirtza. Okay. So some stipulations in terms of when you are eligible to become an Eved Ivri on Nirtza. Let's say the Eved himself produced children, in other words, was given a wife, produced children, and it happens to be that his master does not have a wife and children. There, inu nirtza. It's a technicality. I'm sure you can give svara. I'm not going to try right now. But in other words, we're going to learn it as a drasha. And that is, as a technicality, you're not eligible. You do not qualify to become an Eved Ivri in Yirtza. Why? Shenemer ki avcha ves beisecha. So because part of his statement is, I love you and I love your house, your household. Your household includes your wife and meaning this is the Eved Ivri saying to his master, I like your wife and I like your children. Meaning, right? And I feel at home over here. So the rabbo ishavanim uvanim velo ein ishavanim einu nirtza shenem ha'afti yisadu nives v'shiv es banai. Conversely, in order to qualify to become an Eved Ivri on Yirtza, you have to have children. So that means, and over here, it's pasha pshat. Meaning what his statement is that I like my wife, meaning my new wife, and my new children. And right clear from that is that if you do not have a new wife and you don't have children, so you don't qualify for an Eved Ivri on Yirtza. There has to be mutual love going in both directions. He has to love his master and his master has to love him. If we're missing love on either side, does not qualify. This is, you know me a little too well, by the way. This is me talking, by the way. I love the box, by the way, that has the word love, and whether or not we're going to check off that box. Right? Yeah. Okay, good. So, okay. And another box to check in terms of whether or not you qualify to become an eved for your nirtzah, and that is that you have to be healthy. And not only do you have to be healthy, but your master has to be healthy as well. Okay. Check. Two checks. By Rabbi Bibi Bar by Yishneim Cholamai, Imach Bina Vaika, Odil Makitov Lo Imach Bina Vaaleka. Teiku. Wonderful question. Let's say both of you are sick. Okay. So misery loves company. I'm full of cliches today. What a train wreck. So anyway, so the, so what if both of you are sick? So in other words, maybe now you qualify. Why? Because you're imach, you're with him. In other words, yeah, you're sick, so is my master. Okay. So on one hand, maybe you qualify because you do commiserate. On the other hand, maybe not. Ki tov lo imach. It's good, and right now, right, when you're sick, things are not good. So take the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Ki tov lo imach. This is now going to be chazara. We saw this earlier. We get to see it again. Ki tov lo imach imach b'machal imach b'mishta shalotei atau chapasta kevo chapas kebar ata shosi yain yashin v'hu shosi yain chadash ata yashin agabe muchin v'hu yashin agabe teven mikan amru kol akona evad evri kakon adon latzmo. Okay. So he's got to be eating the same quality of food as you are eating. You cannot eat superior quality food. So whatever you're eating, he's eating the same. Okay, and that's true for eat, that's true for drinking, okay, that's true for sleeping, right? For all your basics. So he is going to be at the same level that you're at. Kolakona evad ivri kakona adon latzmo. You have an evad ivri, you have a master. Okay. In other words, you're the master and he's the master. Okay. And I cited the Tosos before, I'll cite it again. So Tosos says the conclusion of the Gemara is he's your master. Why are we going that far? Why can't we just simply say he's your equal? Tosos comment, it was yesterday's daf. So Tosos is right. Oh, perfect. Tosos' comment is, let's say you only have one pillow. Ah. So if you have one pillow, so you have to give it to the Eved Ivri. Ah, he's your master. Okay. So the Tana Rabbanan, V'yatza mi'imach hu v'navimo. So the we're moving on. So he's leaving you, him and his children. Now, him and his children is a reference not to the Shivcha Kananis, but rather, in other words, that's the wife that he brought in with him. His Isha Yisraelis. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shimon, imhunim karbanav v'nasa minim karim. Now, even the language of the pasuk is a little bit strange. Meaning, and his wife and his children are going to also be emancipated. Again, I'm using the emancipation contextually for Eved Ivri. Okay, so, because I know it's confusing, and we're not talking about Eved Kanani, and that's the upcoming Mishnah, which was where we're going to stop today. Okay, but in other words, but still, the point is that the Eved Ivri goes free, and so do his wife, and so do his kids. His wife and his kids were never, status-wise, Eved Ivri, meaning she's married to an Eved Ivri, but she's not an Eved Ivri, and his children are the children of Eved Ivri, but they're not Eved Ivri. So the language of the pasuk is a little bit strange, and the Gemara goes on to explain. Amar Rabbi Shimon, imhu nimkar banav v'nasam min nimkarim. So the Gemara just simply formulated the question. Mikan Rabbi Chai b'mezonos banav. So that means to say as follows. So just like the owner has to provide food for the Eved Ivri, in other words, that's part of the service contract, in that he's working for you, but you have to feed him. Okay, so in other words, you're providing room and board. So you're providing room and board for him and his wife and kids. Okay. Which admittedly, by the way, is a significant expense on behalf of the Adon. Okay, I'm just curious, but I don't know the answer. I'll say it on the front end. In other words, is that deducted off of his wages? How exactly does that work financially in terms of the employment contract? Okay. Don't know. Anyway, Mikan Rabbi Chai v'Mizonos Banav. So Kayot Badavatomer and Bali Shahu Vyatsa Ishto Yimo. So and the same, we're gonna say the same thing in Parshas Mishpatim. Meaning we just cited Parshas Bahar, that's the Eved Ivri Hamocher Satzmo. But we're going to make the same exact point regarding Machru Beis Din, which is that his wife goes out with him. Again, not his Shifcha Kanani, because she's not going out with him, but his Isha Yisraelis, who he went in with, is going to go out with. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Imhu Nimkar Yishtam Nimkaris Mikan, Rabbi Chai Bemazonis Yishtam. Now, we made the same point, but it's not exactly the same point. If you're following carefully, in the Bahar Drasha, we talked about how the Adon has to feed his children. In the Mishpatim Drasha, we talked about how the Adon has to feed his wife. And I need both. I need the Torah to speak out both. Why? That's the Gemara's very next question. Utsricha. They're both necessary. D'i ashmina mishum delo. I'm sorry. D'i ashmina banav mishum delo b'nei ma'avir mechal ninu. Aval ishto debas mechal mevadhi ematavi v'techal. If the Torah only said that the Adon has to feed the children, I would have said, okay, they're children. Meaning, what do you want them to do? Go out and work? The children. So, but as far as your wife is concerned, your wife can go out and work. Right? She's capable. Remember, in other words, she has earnings. And in the marriage, the earnings go to her husband. But in other words, but she can. So I might have thought that we're not gonna feed the there's no requirement for the Adon to feed the wife. V'yash min nishto delav darki la dure. Avabanav di darkayu la dure emalot tzricha. And now we can also go in the other direction as well. If the Torah only said the wife, so what do you expect the wife to do? To go around town to knock door to door, ask for food? That's inappropriate. And so there I can understand how it is the Adon's responsibility to make sure that the wife is being fed. As far as the kids are concerned, maybe the Adon doesn't have to feed them and they'll go around knocking door to door. Okay.
Postulate that's the heter for the Shifcha Kanani.
Right.
When you buy an Evan Ivory, it's a fixed expense and if he keeps having kids, right, it's an increased expense. You give him a Shifcha Kanani, so at least the expense for the extra kids becomes your equity.
You heard me say this before. Every Jew is hardwired to be an accountant. It's so good. It's so good. Okay, fine. As long as I know I'm going over time anyway today, so I might as well riff. It's my theory on life, and it's silly. And I'm sorry for taking precious time away, but every Jew is hardwired to become an accountant and to own and to open up a restaurant. It's built into every single Jew, and all we do is we fight both of those urges. Okay. Anyway, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we turn to the Amud Beis. Okay. I went for a long time today, a little interlude. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We are now continuing in Chav Beis Amud Beis. So Ilu Namer Asno Bedela Saisi Omer Yit Kor Keneged Asno Bedela Stelas in Asno Lo. So if the Torah would have said Asno Badalas, meaning without the base, right? The pasuk actually reads Bi Asno, but if the Torah would have said Asno Badalas, I might have thought that you only have to hit the door, but not his ear. So the ozen lo, the Gemara says, no, even as a havamina, the Gemara says, that can't be. So the haksev rasadon of it says, no, bemart say, meaning, just read the pasuk. It says you're piercing his ear. So ela, he's yomer, you'd say, no, ozen, mi abrai. Vinechen ala dals, vietkor, keneged, as no bedelas. So again, what the havamina would have been, we're just tweaking the havamina, is that I would have thought that the piercing of the ear could be done separate from the doorway. In other words, step number one, you could pierce the ear. And step number two, you proximate the ear to the door, and then you pierce the door through the ear. In other words, that's a havamina. That's the tamalomer. Be'azno, uvadelas. Hakeitzad? So, doker v'holech, hashimagia, it's a delas. So, good. What the Torah is informing is that it's one motion. You're taking the ear of the Eved Ivri, you're putting it right against the doorpost, and with the Marzea, you're going through, follow through. Now, next Rasha. Dele Shamea Ani Bein Akura Bein Sheina Akura. The Talmud Lomar Mezuzah Ma Mezuzah Meumad Abdelas Nami Meumad. Okay, it's a funny half. I mean, I have to admit, but. I might have thought that the piercing of the ear through the doorway, maybe the doorway doesn't have to be attached to the house. I don't know. Right? You're in Lowe's. Okay. And whatever. And there happens to be a doorway over there and you're with your Eved Ivri. Okay, let's go. Anyway, that's a Havamina. So that's the Akura, In other words, they dislocate a doorway. Okay, so the Kamash Malan, the Chiddush says, no. In other words, just like the mezuzah is mu'umad, in other words, it is fixed in place, so too, the delis also is mi'umad. Rabbi Yochem and Zakeh Yedorosh HaSemekraz Kemin Chomer. So when Rabbi Yochem and Zakeh would darshan this pasuk, he would darshan it like a precious stone. Okay, we're going to finish off today with a little bit of Agadata. Yeah, and that is the following. So manishana uza mikol evarim shibagov. So why the piercing of the ear? Okay, this is classic. Everyone here knows how the Torah operates. So the Torah gives the mitzvos, it gives the halachos, but no explanations. In other words, rarely does the Torah give tam hadavar, and subsequent to the Torah, so we are given tam eha mitzvos via the Gemara. Not a lot of detail, sparsely, but we're given it from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, and then the Rishonim, right? The Rishonim really went to work in terms of giving tamei mitzvah, right? And in fact, the Rishon, we all know, the Sefer Chinuch dedicated himself to giving tamei mitzvah for each and every one of the mitzvahs. But the cautionary note: every time you give the reason behind the mitzvah, is that if the reason no longer applies, so then we don't have the mitzvah, right? And of course, that's wrong. Meaning, obviously, in other words, the mitzvah exists independent of the reason. The reasons are just simply so that we can, it speaks a little bit easier to us, right? The analogy I give consistently is that, think of the word tam. Tam is flavor, meaning we need to eat food because we will die without eating food. In other words, the caloric intake of the food is what sustains us. But you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? It's fantastic. And that is, he made the food taste good. So in other words, so now that we eat the food and it tastes good, so it goes down easier. But in other words, without the taste, I still need the food. Okay, so it's a simple analogy, and I happen to really like it. And the same thing is true regarding mitzvahs, meaning the mitzvahs are necessary, right? They're required. And then as far as the reasons behind the mitzvahs are concerned, right, they provide taste. Okay. Rav Yochum and Zakai Yadarsha Samikra Zekim and Chomer. Manishana Ozemi Kol Evarim Shebegov. Okay, so the as far as the ear is concerned, why the ear? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Ozen Sheshama Koli Al Har Sinai B'Shal Shamarti Ki Li Bnei Yisrael Avadim V'Lo Avadim L'Avadim V'Alach Zeh V'Kana Adon La'Atzmo Yeratza. So what the message of the Torah is that ear that heard on Har Sinai, you know who you're now going to be serving. Meaning you just spent the last 400 years serving. Serving Paro. Okay, good. You know what? No longer are you going to serve Paro. You'll serve me. And now that same ear now, you heard that at Har Sinai. And now you're going to opt into becoming an Eved to another person again? Okay, we're going to pierce that ear. Reb Shimon and Rabbi, and by the way, everyone knew that Drasha. It's Rashi and Chumash. But, okay. Rashi got it from our Gemara. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Hayyadar Shasamikar Zekim and Chomer. And the Rashbi, not the classic Rashbi. In other words, not Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi. Okay, but anyway, also acronym Rashbi. So he would also darshan, Kemin Chomer, like a precious stone. And that is Manishana Delas Mezuzah Mikol Kelim Shebebayis. Why against the doorpost? Why against the door and why against the doorpost? So the Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Delsa Mezuzah Sheyu Eidim Mimzayim B'Shasha Pasachti Al HaMashkof Ve'al Shtei HaMezuzahos Ve'amarti Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avadim Ve'lo Avadim La'Avadim Ve'otzeisi Me'avdu Zecheros Ve'alach Zeh Ve'kanal Adon Atzmo Yeratzeh B'fneihem. They were the Eidim. When we left Mitzrayim, so what do? We took the blood of the Karban Pesach and we spread it over the doorpost and over the lentil. And they were the ones now who saw us receive Cheros. And they are now the ones that are going to be testifying. This person, he doesn't like his cheiros. He doesn't like only serving at Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to serve another person. So now you're going to do it in front of the Eidim. Okay. And we'll conclude as follows. That's it. That took us to the Mishnah. And that is one more drush for today, coming from Tosfos. And that is the word Marzeah. The word Marzeah says Tosfos has a gematria of 400. Okay. In other words, the Marzeah that you're using to pierce the ear of the Eved Ivri, so that's 400. The significance of the number 400, obviously, we were serving a Mitzrayim for 400 years. Okay, now, right. In other words, if the number is a moving target, It's because, I'll tell you the numbers you've heard. How long we served in Mitzrayim. You heard the number 430, you heard the number 400, and you heard the number 210. Okay, good. Anyway, but 400 is one of the numbers. So anyway, the word Marzeah Begamatria, the numbers work, is 400. Adkan.